Thank you, Jerry. Look in your Bibles, please, to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6. It's a familiar story. We're going to look at some background that maybe you wouldn't get if you were teaching a children's Bible school class. Before I begin, I want to say a word of thank you to Gail for leading us today. Curtis and Sherry are on an anniversary trip, and so be in prayer for them that they'll do well. Also, the next two Sundays, we're doing something different so everybody can be in one service. The next two Sundays, we're just having one service at 10:15, so you can get a little bit of extra sleep and come in here and get gathered together. Sean is going to lead next week, and Curtis the next week. Sean's already picked out hymns and songs that you know, so don't be afraid to come because somebody else is leading. It's just good to have everybody together in one service so we can see everybody. So that's the next two Sundays. Be here and take part in that. Daniel chapter 6 begins this way. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. The king is worried about politicians taking money. Can you imagine that? I'm going to try not to get off on that today. Verse 3. Then Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. So they're going to take Daniel, put him in charge of everybody. Then the other people got upset. Verse 4. Then the commissioners and satraps begin trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Verse 5. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God or in regard to his faith." Now, just a little bit of background. Daniel was taken to Babylon in 605 B.C. against his will. He was a teenager at the time. He was placed in the midst of a different culture. They gave him a new name. They sent him to a special school where he was taught a worldly, humanistic worldview. And yet through it all, Daniel stayed true to God. And his faithfulness allowed him to influence his world far more than his culture influenced him. Daniel, at the time of Daniel chapter 6, commentators believe he's about 80 years old. He served under, at least in the Bible, he's revealed to serve under four different rulers, two different kingdoms. Daniel. If we're going to impact our culture, we must be different than our culture. And Daniel was able to live that out. Daniel's purity, Daniel's integrity, Daniel's commitment to God set him apart. He faced opposition. He faced a lot of opposition through the years, but God was with him and God brought him through. And I would say to you today that it is God's desire for you and for me to live a life that is set apart from our world and from our culture. I'm not saying we're supposed to withdraw from it. I'm saying we're supposed to live in it in such a way that we stand out. We need to live lives that are filled with integrity and commitment to God. And if we'll do that, then we have a chance to influence our world. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. You and I are to live lives of integrity and commitment so that the world sees us and wants to glorify God. That passage begins with talking about us being salt. Salt loses its flavor. It loses its effectiveness if it becomes contaminated. And it is integrity. It is commitment to God that keeps us from becoming contaminated by our culture. And so God calls for us to live a life of integrity. God calls for us to impact our culture. And Daniel shows us how to do it. So let's look at Daniel. Point number one. Daniel's integrity set him apart. Now, Darius was the new ruler, set 120 men over the kingdom, set 3 men over them, and Daniel was one of those guys. But Daniel was so impressive in his leadership that the king was going to make Daniel over everybody. And so those other 122 men got upset about that. You see, they wanted to take bribes to line their pockets. They wanted to be able to figure out ways to take money from the treasury. And so they plotted together and said, we're going to find some dirt on Daniel. He had been in government for 50 or 60 years. They reviewed his records for 50 or 60 years, and they couldn't find anything. Can you imagine that? They couldn't find anything. He had never broken a law. He never violated a rule. He never sidestepped anything. He never had a memorial failure. 50 or 60 years. We have people in America that won't even run for office because they know people are going to dig up dirt. We have politicians that can't go 50 or 60 hours without doing something dumb. It's not in my notes. I wasn't going to say that. But Daniel's integrity set him apart. He passed the integrity test. Can you pass the integrity test? And they said, well, we can't catch him that way. How are we going to catch him? Well, we'll catch him because he's so committed to God. Somehow we'll have to trap him in his faith. And that's what they did. Daniel was known to be consistently righteous. He was known to be consistently faithful. He passed the faithfulness test. Can you pass that? Are you known to be consistently faithful? And so they did. They talked the king into signing a decree that nobody could make a petition of anybody except of the king. That meant that Daniel couldn't make a petition of his God. It meant that Daniel couldn't pray. So what did Daniel do? Point number two, Daniel dared to be different. Look at verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he knew this new law was in place. When Daniel knew that the new document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. He didn't alter his routine. Verse 11, then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Verse 10 shows that Daniel knew the law was signed. He knew to pray was to break the law, but he didn't alter his routine. He didn't even try to hide it. He went up and prayed. He had windows open facing Jerusalem. That was his home. He's hundreds of miles from home. But every day, 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed. Praying to God, facing home. Don't you know he wanted to go home? But with no attempt to hide, he kept on praying. Daniel had more faith in God than he had fear of the authorities. We must be different if we're going to influence our culture. And Daniel was arrested for praying. Can you imagine that? He was not ashamed of his God. He wasn't ashamed of his faith. It wasn't popular. It wasn't even politically correct. But Daniel didn't care. He kept on praying. He was putting his life on the line to pray, but he prayed anyway. We must dare to be different from the world so the world will know we have something different to offer them. Last April, my boys went with Richard Brunton. He's in our sister church in England. They traveled with him to Africa. And in this one particular village, he gave the Muslim leader of the village, gave him a Bible. And I'm kind of thinking, don't get the Muslims stirred up while my boys are over there. But he dared to be different. About a few weeks ago, Richard Brunton, over the telephone, led 9 Muslim men in Africa to faith in Christ. We're going to have to be different. We're going to have to dare to be different if we're going to impact our culture for Jesus Christ. Now, Daniel knew how to react in a crisis. In fact, I don't even know that he thought this was a crisis, but he knew what to do. We can react at least one of 3 ways in a crisis. Number one, we can panic. And if we panic, we almost always do what's wrong. Number two, we can be paralyzed by fear and not do anything. Or we can pray, and praying is the right thing. And when we pray, then God shows us the right thing to do in the midst of our crisis. What if the first thing you did in a crisis was pray? And what if the second thing you did in a crisis was pray? And what if the third thing you did in a crisis was pray? Daniel prayed 3 times a day. 3 times a day, set aside time to get on his knees and to pray. Daniel kept to his routine in the midst of a crisis and trusted that God would work things out. I just don't think there was any sense of panic in Daniel's life. Daniel knew that he might die, but he would rather die than be unfaithful to God. Have you got that kind of faith? The fourth thing we see is that Daniel gave thanks. I want you to look again at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered into his house, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks. Giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Daniel's routine didn't change when a crisis came. He didn't panic. He didn't blame God. He kept to his routine. Daniel had been praying. Daniel lived in a foreign country, in a foreign culture, in a pagan land. He lived there almost all of his life. And he had great effectiveness. And I just wonder, was his effectiveness because of his praying? And I think the answer is yes. And I wonder if his prayers were so effective because he gave thanks. And I think that answer is yes, too. There's great power when we pray in giving thanks. And we see this in other places in the Bible. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. With thanksgiving. Every day we should take time to thank God. We should thank Him for what He has done. Thank Him for the times He's protected us. Thank Him for the times He's provided for us. Thank Him for the times He's blessed us. We should just thank Him. Part of our praying every day should be thanksgiving to God. And then we can pray about everything. The earth belongs to the Lord. It's all His turf. And so whatever you're praying about and wherever you're praying, Daniel's hundreds of miles from home. Daniel's in a pagan culture. He's about to be in a lion's den. And we're going to find out it's all God's turf. So you can pray about everything. And this will guard your heart. It'll guard your heart from reacting in old ways. It'll guard your heart from acting in wrong ways. Prayer guards your heart. And thanksgiving helps us see the hand of God at work now. As we remember how He's done in the past and what He's done in the past, it helps open our eyes to the fact, well, God's done this in the past. He's going to be working now. And we can begin to see the hand of God at work now. And I'm convinced that praising God releases His power to work in our lives and to work through our lives. God has the power to change our perspective. You know, I talk pretty often about a lot of our really good students who've grown up in church and are leaders, they're just overwhelmed with this anxiety. And I'm convinced that one of the treatments for anxiety is to focus on the Word of God. God can change our perspective, but God can change our circumstances. Some of his students that made decisions this week at camp, we've been praying for them. Serious prayer. Some of them have really been struggling. And it is so exciting to see them give their life to Christ, to stand up in front of this church with a smile on their face. God has the power to change our circumstances. We see that in Daniel's life. We see point number five, that God showed up. Daniel was arrested. He was thrown in the lion's den. Now, they had in Babylon this big pit with lions in it. And you got thrown in the lion's den. They put this big rock over there so you couldn't get out. And I guess so the lions couldn't get out. And the king sealed it with his ring so nobody could open it. And they left Daniel in there overnight with the full expectation that in the morning there wasn't going to be anything left of Daniel. But I want you to see what the king did and how he reacted. Just listen. This won't be on the screen. Just listen to how the king reacted in Daniel chapter 6, verse 19. Then the king arose with the dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. First thing in the morning, there's the king running to the lion's den because he cares about Daniel. Verse 20. And when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the mouth of the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king. O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king. I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. I love the part that says, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Listen, Daniel was powerless to change things. And God showed up. The king was powerless to change things. Even though the king cared about Daniel, the king was powerless to change things. But the King of Kings showed up. Stood there on behalf of Daniel. And as God shut the mouth of the lions in that pit, so God can shut the mouth of Satan. Jesus is known as the Lion of Judah. Satan is always trying to counterfeit Jesus. And so the Bible says that Satan's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith. Listen, Satan wants you. Satan wants to deceive you. Satan wants to distract you. Satan wants to tempt you. Satan wants to accuse you. And the Bible says, be on the alert because he's after you. But you don't have to put up with that. And as God shut the lions of the mouths and the lion's den, so certainly God can shut the mouth of Satan. But you have to resist him firm in your faith. Listen, Satan doesn't want you in the Word. And you know that's true because when you open the Bible and begin to read it, what happens? You get sleepy. You open the Bible, you begin to read it, you start thinking all this other stuff you ought to be doing. It's an attack of the evil one because he doesn't want you in the Word because it is the Word is where you find strength. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. You and I need to do the same thing. We fight the evil one with the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you to read the Bible, but not just read it. I want you to study it. I want you to be a student of the Word. I talked this morning to our students about being a student of the Word. You understand that Daniel in this story is 80 years old. This applies to all of us. We all need to be students of the Word. And God worked in a mighty way on behalf of Daniel, and it impressed the king. And then I want you to see what the king did. Point number 6 is the last point. The king wrote a letter to everyone in the land. Daniel chapter 6, verse 25. Then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in all the land. Now look what he said. May your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. Now they worshiped a lot of gods in Babylon. But the king writes a letter to everybody to say, you need to be in fear and trembling before the God of Daniel. Daniel stood out and he influenced the king. Look what he says next. For he is the living God and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And his dominion will be forever. I don't know that Darius even understood how powerful that was and how true that was. The God of Daniel is not like any other God. He is the living God and enduring forever. His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And his dominion will be forever. What tremendous truth that is. He went on to write, he delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. It's interesting to me that Darius wrote this letter and it became part of the Bible in Daniel chapter 6. Nebuchadnezzar wrote a letter to all the people in the land. And it became Daniel chapter 4. Isn't that interesting? Daniel influenced the influential. Daniel influenced the influencers. Listen, there are people in the world known as Instagram influencers. Y'all heard of that? I Googled Instagram influencers and I couldn't even find an appropriate picture to put up there. But there are people who make money by influencing us. Daniel showed us how to influence the world. Daniel influenced the influential. How did he do that? He was faithful to God. He was faithful to dealing with his fellow man day after day after day. The world should be impressed with our God as to see how he works in us. I had a friend of mine tell me, my doctor is not a Christian, but my doctor told me, the last time I was there, my doctor told me that he's thinking about becoming a Christian because of the way Christians approach death. He says that people who are Christians can approach death with a great sense of peace. And people who don't know God are afraid. We have the power to influence the world, not by being worldly, but by being godly. And Daniel shows us the pattern. We're to pray. We're to be a student of the Word. We're to live a life of integrity. And we're to stand for God no matter the consequences. This week in Oswald Chambers' devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, one day he said this. I want to read this first part. Just listen. My vision of God is dependent upon the condition of my character. I'm going to say that again. My vision of God is dependent upon the condition of my character. My character determines whether or not truth can even be revealed to me. Before I can say, I saw the Lord, there must be something in my character that conforms to the likeness of God. Until I am born again and really begin to see the kingdom of God, I only see from the perspective of my own biases. What I need is God's surgical procedure, his use of external circumstances to bring about internal purification. His use of external circumstances to bring about internal purification. So God's at work in your life right now to try to make you more like Him on the inside. Now listen to what He says next. Your priorities must be God first, God second, and God third. Until your life is continually face to face with God and no one else is taken into account whatsoever, your prayer will then be, in all the world, there is no one but you, dear God. There is no one but you. Keep paying the price. Let God see that you're willing to live up to the vision. Now, Daniel, live that out. There's a new rule, Daniel, you can't pray. And what did Daniel say? God first, God second, God third. In his mind, the only person that mattered in all the world was God. He's willing to go to the lion's den for God. And his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went to the fiery furnace. And this is what they said before they went. Our God can protect us in the midst of that. But even if he does not, we're not bowing down to you, O King. And Daniel knew God could protect him from the lions, but even if not, he wasn't going to bow down to his culture, to an earthly king. He was committed to God. And listen, God's calling you and me to make that same kind of commitment. Because Daniel made that commitment, he had tremendous influence. And you and I have the opportunity to influence our world by our integrity and by our commitment to God. People are watching. God wants to use you. Be faithful to Him. Let's pray. The Lord, it is sometimes costly. We pay a price to be committed to You. And yet it's always worth it. And if ever we're hesitant to pay the price, let us remember the price that You paid so that we could know You. You were sinless. You were holy. The eternal God. And yet You limited Yourself to become a little baby, to live on earth, to be rejected, to die on a cross. You did that. You paid the price so that my sin could be forgiven and so I would have a chance to live for You. And so, Father, we pray that we'll not ever be hesitant to pay the price that You called us to pay, to live for You, to be committed to You, to follow You, to live a life of integrity. And so, Father, we ask right now that Your Holy Spirit is poured out on us to help us to be a people of integrity. That even in the smallest decisions, that we would be a people known for integrity. And that we would be known as people who are committed to You and to follow You. And then we pray, Lord, that through that You will give us opportunities to be a witness for You. That You'll give us opportunities to shine a light in the world so that people can see us but really turn to You and glorify You. Help us, Father, to live that way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.